number 36 of the NLSC podcast. This week's episode is dedicated to the Detroit Pistons' new assistant coach, Rasheed Wallace, who wore number 36 for them. And just like the ball, our podcast don't lie. I am Andrew, joined as always by Ben.
G'day, everyone.
Also known as Arcane, of course. And yeah, we've got, we're just another dynamic duo show today. So sorry if you don't like Australian accents. We totally understand our harsh accent that we've got here.
Yeah, and, down under. And mine's obviously a little bit worse than mine, being a little bit as sick as I am. So have more fun trying to understand this one.
Yeah, that's where we need Leftos, really. It's where we miss Leftos to carry the conversation. But
yes.
For those who haven't seen the thread in the forum, Leftos is basically officially now with 2K. He's just sorting out a couple of visa issues. I believe he has to go back to Greece and then back to the States and, in the infinite wisdom of bureaucratic red tape.
The poor bastard.
Yeah. So we are hoping to get him in next week or the week after, or certainly sometime, just to do a bit of a farewell episode for him, and maybe get a few other special guests in there to say cheerio at the same time, if we can arrange that with all our... Since we're all over the globe and we all have weird and wonderful time zones, and I'm not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so it's going to have to be the other guys,
yeah,
wouldn't you say?
Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny we couldn't make it a video cast and have like a strippogram for him.
Yeah, might be a little controversial, but nevertheless, we will be farewelling Leftos at some point. And if you caught my Friday Five last week, I had five thoughts as we farewell Leftos, just to shout out some of the work he's been doing for us and a few little other funny jabs here and there. But check that out, of course, and all my other Friday Fives and all the stuff we're doing on the site. But, you know, that's for another time. We're here to talk about basketball video games and whatever else comes to mind in the next 1 to 2 hours, however long your throat can hold out, Ben, with your cough and whatnot. So, actually, before we get going, I'd just like to also give a bit of a shout-out to a forum member, DC311. Who has done a lot of great work for NBA Live, the last few games on NBA Live's on PC, doing some jerseys and courts and all other things. Recently posted in the general section that he's been having had a bit of a health scare and having some problems there. So just want to wish him well and thank him again for all the work he's done for us. And, you know, get well soon, buddy.
Yep, speedy recovery.
Absolutely. So on to our favorite topic of basketball video games. We are still in that weird period where we get a few tidbits and then quiet and a few more tidbits and then quiet and then presumably the explosion probably in August sometime, I would say. But we did get a couple of interesting news and notes this week, did we not?
Oh, yeah. I'll let you carry this one because I'm just about to cough for a second, so excuse me a second.
Sure thing. Okay, so High Tome on the NLSC forum pointed out a couple of things on Twitter that passed me by. The official NBA Live Twitter, that is. Just a couple of notes in response to questions people asked on Twitter, and actually, you, Ben, got a little bit of credit for your wallpaper that you made, which was nice. Always nice just to do when we get a bit of love.
Okay, I'm hoping that cough didn't come through.
It did not.
Sweet, okay.
Feel good. But yeah, your wallpaper got a bit of love,
yeah,
on the official Twitter, which was nice.
Yes, I've actually just done another one, so I'm hoping there's a bit more love from that soon. And it's, honestly, I like the new one. I did a little bit more better. I actually put a bit more thought into it. The one that I did was just more for like a Twitter background, so.
Yeah.
And it's hopefully, I actually had a few people retweet it and favor it and comment on it, so hopefully it gets the attention that it potentially deserves. I don't know. Just yeah.
But it's always cool to get the shout out like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And but I'm not shy of being a media whore, as I suppose it's the attention seeking sort of ghost.
It's what you do these days. What is social media for if not for
selfies and
promoting ourselves, yeah.
And public breakdowns.
Apparently so. And then deleting the Twitter and then getting back on there months later.
Yes.
Just to start the cycle over again.
Yep.
And of course, when we get famous enough, we'll be doing just that.
Sweet.
But some other news and notes that came out of that, a few responses on Twitter. They will be looking to do a few more Twitter Q&As, similar to the one they did before, where they answered some gameplay questions. And I mean, that sounds like a good idea to me because the last one went over quite well, and we got some pretty good information out of it.
Agreed. And yeah, as we mentioned, really, I believe it was last week, where a lot of surprising information we didn't expect them to announce in that from it. So
like the legends,
yes,
probably the biggest
exactly.
thing.
So yeah, we'll see what other surprises we could get from that, which would be great.
The one thing that I was pleased to see when we were doing the Twitter Q&A, I actually did get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do that, and I asked a question about Dynasty Mode because I was hoping that maybe Scott would be able to let something slip, but unfortunately they were keeping a tight rein on him and not letting anything that he wasn't allowed to say slip through. And he wasn't allowed to talk about game modes at the time, but in response to somebody giving some feedback, there's the word, some feedback on what they want to see in Dynasty Mode and whatnot, although they did call it Association, but obviously they're talking about NBA Live's equivalent, which is Dynasty, basically said that they feel we'll be enjoying what we'll see this year. They didn't really go into detail, didn't confirm owner mode or any sort of the other features he was talking about, but it did sound like there's actually going to be some work put into the game modes this year. And I mean, I'm a Dynasty guy and a game mode guy, an offline game mode guy, I should say. I don't play online that much because, well, Leftos has actually pointed out why in previous podcasts with his people I don't like them comment. I'm not going to go that far. I like people, some people. even after over a decade of running a website, I still like people. So yeah, go me. But I mean, I was really happy to see that because even though gameplay is important and the physics are important and all that stuff and the bounce tech and all that's great, if the modes aren't there to have that replay value, you kind of get bored
Yeah.
after a while.
You know, instead of it being enjoyable for about 6, 8 months and that, you know,
Yeah.
the excitement could end up being only 2 to 4 months, you know, as you sort of need something extra in it just to sort of keep it, you know. And again, that's when the community was at its best, because without all our modes and that we did for this game, from the street modes to Olympic FIBA competition stuff, European NBL stuff, you know,
Yeah.
it gave the game a second life and extra longevity. So we were still playing it right up until the next game came out, and then we continued that cycle. So yeah.
Yeah, and you can do that when you've got Dynasty and a couple of
Oh, yeah.
other modes and all the different modes of play. Because if you're just playing exhibitions or just single seasons, I mean, that can be fun, especially if you're an online gamer. But if you're not, yeah, the replay value is not there. And when you've got to actually imagine or make up your own multi-season mode, and that's where NBA Live 06, when it made its transition to the last generation on Xbox 360, it didn't have Dynasty mode. They just had season mode, single season mode, and that was a big reason why that game flopped. I mean, there are other issues with the gameplay itself as it was trying to make its way onto that platform, but certainly the lack of game modes didn't help it at all.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. I actually just got some really, really good news just as this actually just literally came in on the wire.
Yeah.
Under the code, I've actually just posted my article that I actually wrote for them on their website.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'd like to thank Andrew, Mark, and Cluminati for helping proofreading that, and with their thoughts and that, it helped hopefully made it a better article for it. So thanks, guys. And yeah, hopefully everyone will, if you get the chance, have a read of it.
Yeah, underthecode.com, and I'll chuck a link up on our social media. See, the power of social media
Yes.
again.
So I'm really ecstatic for that. So thanks to the guys at Under the Code for the opportunity. It was a great title to work within. I won't spoil it, as I'll leave it for everyone to go view. And it was nice to put those thoughts together, and hopefully it's an enjoyable read for everyone.
Right on. So, getting back to the NBA Live 14 Twitter tidbits, should be some kind of we really need a soundboard for these kinds of things. There's a really cool voice, Twitter tidbits or something, so that I don't have to do the voice every time. A couple of people sort of asked about the lack of news at the moment, which is not surprising given the time, and we're sort of on the cusp of getting to the. Well, I just can't talk today. Of getting to the main previous season, but. They said it's all coming soon, and they'll have more information for us. And as you said, the Twitter Q&As. So it's just time. I mean, they can't. There's a time frame for all these things. They've got PR to deal with. I'm sure they'd love to throw out more information and media and stuff as soon as it's ready. But we're just gonna wait, and I guess we'll continue to cover it.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just distracted by writing a reply and thanking the guys at UT at Under the Code. Sorry about that.
No worries. But I guess that wraps up the Twitter tidbits for the moment. And as I said, if there's any other news, we will post it. On the other side of things, NBA 2K have posted a couple of notes. Rather, Operation Sports conducted a Q&A with them regarding the 14 EuroLeague teams that are going to be in the game. We mentioned that last week. And the Q&A clarified a couple of details about the EuroLeague teams of note. They haven't been able to license all the authentic arenas, but there will be a specific EuroLeague arena that will just switch the branding around for each team, so it'll resemble as much as they're legally allowed to. And those courts will have the proper dimensions and the dimensions of the key and everything. The early screenshots obviously don't. They're just there for early demonstration, early glimpse purposes. But the final game will ship with proper dimensions. Each roster will have 10 authentic players. So do they have a roster of 10 or 12 in EuroLeague, do you know?
It could be 12.
Could be 12.
Don't quote me on that, though. I'll have to double check.
Yeah, I guess it's usually 12 as a standard number across all professional leagues, yeah. As far as I'm aware. But in any case, they've licensed at least 10. Yeah.
I'm assuming if it's anything like the NBL, they'll probably use the same sort of principles and rules in that aspect. So,
sure.
However, I'm guessing the NBL had about 12.
Yep. So 10 authentic players on each team with faces and whatnot. And the EuroLeague teams will be on all platforms, so all versions of the game will have them. I know a couple of guys were joking in the comments section on some of the articles we posted about, you know, whether the PC will get them or whether there'll be DLC or something. But no, we're going to get all of them. And if you're not too happy about the EuroLeague teams, you may be happy to know that 2K did hint at future news regarding the classic teams in the game. They don't have anything to say about it at the moment, except to say that no classic teams were removed to make way for the EuroLeague teams. So it sounds like there'll still be some historical content in there, but their lips are sealed for the moment. Yeah, so that's just a few interesting little notes about the EuroLeague teams. And I didn't think they were going to remove classic teams for EuroLeague teams. I mean, if anything, they want more, as much bonus content as they can get.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that would just sort of been almost suicide if they'd done that, if they removed all the classic teams.
Yeah, so you want EuroLeague teams? Here you go. By the way, we took out Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Very, very popular move, that.
Yeah, it almost has an Xbox 180 tune to it.
Yeah. Well, they did their 180 with Scottie Pippen last year when they were able to get him in the Dream Team.
That's true.
So never rule it out.
But that was at least a good 180. We don't want a bad 180.
Yes, and we thank Larsa Pippen for helping out with that as well. And just in final note about the upcoming games, LeBron, the cover player of NBA 2K14, of course, and I believe he was involved in the finals as well, as I recall. He posted a video on Instagram talking about the soundtrack for this year's game and mentioned that with Jay-Z out of the picture, he's the one who's going to be deciding on the soundtrack this year. You can decide for yourself whether that's good news or bad news, remembering, of course, that he is pretty tight with Jay-Z, so the tastes may be very similar. So if you weren't happy with 2K13 soundtrack, you may not like 2K14 either. But in any case, there are apparently a couple of songs left, room for a couple more songs on the soundtrack. So the King has thrown it over to his fans to give him suggestions. And cue baller Eric posted a video of LeBron singing. What was he singing? Some song that certainly is not Jay-Z in the forum, and 32 second clip of him.
I'll throw out some suggestions.
Sure.
In what not to play.
Okay.
No Soulja Boy, no Little B, no Waka Flocka, or Flocka Waka, whatever his name is. Who else is there? That's crap. No Nicki Minaj, no Young Money, whatever the hell they are. No. Crap. No Bieber, please, for heaven's sakes, no. You've already had him in the game once. That's bad enough.
Yeah. And made him 6 foot to boot.
I yeah, was... and could dunk. I was like, yeah, no.
The ultimate sin.
Yeah.
Really. By the way, it was time after time that LeBron is singing in that video. So. So maybe we can get his rendition in the game. That might be interesting. Someone needs to tweet that to him. In fact, I might. But yeah, so that's interesting that they're letting the fans have their say and that LeBron's executive producing the soundtrack this year, apparently.
Wait, if he could do that time after time, because he could be doing, you know, time after time he's winning championships or MVPs.
Cool. Yeah. Because people weren't already saying that, hey, they're going to get loathed buying the game with him on the cover. You know, just to rub it in the face even more, yeah. They'll buy it. It's 2K. They've made some pretty good games. People are going to buy it regardless if it's on the cover. You know, but stick your own photo on the cover if you really, really want. or download the Leftos cover as well. We'll throw that up on the site so people can put Leftos' cartoon face on the box. Fear the beard.
Sorry, just went to evil places with that. Sorry, Leftos.
Yeah. So it's what you get for leaving us and also not being on the podcast for a couple of weeks.
Yes, you never call, you know.
Never call, never write, never text, you know.
I cook dinner for you and you're never there to eat it. What's going on?
Yeah, it's been a rough breakup for us here at the NLSC. But that's going to wrap up the news for this week, at least the news about NBA Live, NBA Live 14, NBA 2K14. Unless there's any other tidbits that slip my mind, I'm just going back through our archives. I don't see anything. Of note,
not from.
No, we're gonna have to wait. Yeah. We're just gonna get those tidbits.
Yeah,
and then it's gonna explode. Hopefully in August.
Oh, you gotta love the waiting game.
Yeah, but speaking of other games in the series, our modding community continues to do fantastic work with NBA 2K13. We've got almost we're on the way to 1,200 files in our section, download section for NBA 2K13.
Hold on, guys.
The NBA 2K12 continues to get love from the Ultimate Base Roster guys. They're up to version 55 of that release, so there's more releases on that than there are weeks in the year. So that just goes to show how long they've been working on it, because it has been a couple of weeks sometimes in between releases when they've been working on some really cool stuff. And they've got a custom soundtrack now, because we have the audio editor. And just to go back to NBA 2K14 for a section, if you don't like what LeBron picks, then hopefully the file format won't have changed too much. And if you're on the PC, you can actually change the songs next year. And for everyone else, you can just, I guess, mute all the songs and throw on your favorite musical playing device, be it an iPod or something else. And as far as the NBA Live updates, I'm going to have a new roster out fairly soon with final 2012-2013 rosters. And I'm announcing for the first time on the podcast, I'm going to do at least one more update with the rookies this year. Cool. So... I did say that I didn't know how long I was going to do it, whether I'd be doing it for next season. I don't know whether I'll be doing it for all of next season, but I'm going to try and get a post-draft update out as soon as I possibly can. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be making the roster open source. So I do still want to be credited for it because I've put a lot of years of work into it. But if people want to take that roster during the season, if I'm dragging my feet on it or can't do it, you know, I'd rather have somebody take over it. So it's going to be open source. All I ask is that you just give me a shout out and say this is based on the NLSC roster. Don't call it the NLSC roster because I don't want to have to support it if I'm not making it. But by all means, if there's credit there, and I'd appreciate a shout out first saying, hey, I want to do this. Maybe I can even give you a few pointers to get started. So always contact me first is a good idea because I can help you get started on it. But it will be open source just in case I can't get it. And if it does come to the point where I'm halfway done with it and can't do it, I might even put out the half completed post draft roster. But for the moment, you know, I'll give it one more go. Don't know how much longer I'll be doing it, but we'll see how it goes. So that's a little exclusive here, and I'll be mentioning that in the forum within the next few days. But I'll be directing people to this podcast so they can hear it here first. So yeah, apparently I just can't get away from updating the games, but. It's one of those things where it just comes around in circles where I hate it and then enjoy it. And there are still a few people playing it. And we don't have a PC version of NBA Live 14, unfortunately. So I'll see what I can do to help the community out. And the open source stuff that we've talked about in the past and that Jasmine is a big supporter of, you know, I feel that's the way to keep the game updated, even if I can't see it all the way through to the end of next season.
I was just thinking how great it would be to have... another NBA Live on PC.
Yeah. especially with how good this one's seeming to shape up.
Yes.
With all the early previews. So, you know, time for another petition, or at least to make our voices heard in some way.
And especially with next gen graphics, you know, just the and if we had the tools and that as well, just how much fun it would be.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Alas.
Yes.
Alas, we are the minority, the PC sports gaming community, so unless, the FIFA guys, of course, you know, being as big as soccer, or football, I should say, is, then that's, they get that, but I don't think they're actually getting the next-gen port, are they? I think they're still getting a last-gen port.
Not 100% sure. I haven't followed up on FIFA. Too much. Like, I've seen a little bit of demonstration, but I haven't followed up about whether the PC versions get next-gen port. They might. It might be sort of more of a next-year thing. I think they'll just sort of just getting it ready on the console first, and then, probably the following season.
Well, I mean, that's fair enough. And hey, as long as they're porting things to the PC.
Oh, yeah. You know?
I'll even download Origin to... I'll take it through Origin if I have to.
I've still got Origin on my PC for playing Battlefield 3, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, please come home to PC, NBA Live. We need you back.
And also NBA Jam on Fire Edition. If you can make that for PC, I'd love to mod that as well and get Jordan into the game. Yeah, so.
And even NBA Street.
Yeah. Actually, just release everything on the PC. It's the best platform.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I've said so many times before.
And we need a return of NCAA basketball.
Yes, and now that I've actually got we'll be getting a region-free console, I can actually enjoy it, as opposed to just...
See, you missed out with the PS3, because then you could be able to play it.
Yeah, I know.
See, that's why I also got the PS3 as well, over the Xbox 360, so because it was... region free, so
that's right. Well, at the time, I wanted to get a new next gen console to start covering NBA Live, and NBA Live hadn't started coming out on
that's true
on PS3 yet. Yeah, so. And also PS3 was $1,000 at the time.
Yeah,
so.
that's true. And again, I think Big W for their typo in their catalog saved me an extra $100 on a console because they stuffed up. So, best birthday present ever.
Oh, absolutely
to myself. Yes,
just. Clumsily crossing it out. It says $5. Well, it's there in the catalog, so I guess we have to honor it.
Well, they expected it, and the guy at the store, because I went to a different store to see if they could beat it in price or match it.
Yeah.
The guy went back to talk to his manager, and they were like, "Yeah, okay." I was like, "Sweet."
Fantastic. See, it never hurts to ask. The worst you can be told is no.
Yep.
I don't think anyone's ever been physically thrown out of a store just for saying, "Can you possibly do a better price?" not in this country, anyway, to my knowledge.
It only happens after you chuck the hissy fit and end up throwing stock around, end up going on a rage attack on the staff members.
I only did that once.
Court ordered never to talk about that again.
Yeah, I'm legally prohibited from telling that hilarious story, sadly.
It was all fun and games until feces was thrown like it was from a monkey.
Stand between me and my bargains. Goodness. Actually, one last thing I wanted to mention about the community before we move on to from virtual hoops to the real hardwood. Although there's not actually any action going on that isn't Summer League at the moment. But had a couple of questions on various sources, including Twitter, asking about how people join the NLSC team. And now, the NLSC team is the actual staff of the website, not to be confused with our contributors group, which is a group to recognize the efforts of frequent and positive contributors to the community. And certainly we do look at the contributors group when we're considering putting on new staff, but the NLSC team is the site staff itself. Basically, we add new people to the team on a by-need basis. If you've got something... some skills that we could use on our team, moderating in the forum or making patches, mods, designing tools, doing other kind of content. And certainly we will be always looking to expand our content. But if you've got something like that to offer, then that's what we'll be looking at to put you on the team. And we don't want to put too many people on at once so that we're sort of overflowing with new people trying to find them roles. But we'll always be looking to put new people on and give them more responsibilities around the site if they can prove it, they can handle it. And to that end, if you want to join the team, you've really got to have been around the forum for a while in the community. And so we've gotten to know you, so there's a sense of familiarity and trust. Because we have had problems with team members in the past. You know, not going to sit here and badmouth anyone, but there have been falling outs or issues where people have kind of joined the team and disappeared, never to contribute again. Like, oh, thanks. That was I spent a whole 5 minutes setting up your inbox. That's 5 minutes I'll never get back. But yeah, we certainly want that familiarity and trust so that we get to know you. And if we feel that we can work with you and you know you'd be good for the team, then we'll talk about bringing you on. And that's obviously how we brought Leftos on, because he impressed us with his tools and we said, would you be interested? And you know, and then he came on board and then left us for 2K, which we are actually legitimately excited for him to be here and look forward to giving him a proper send off on a podcast and letting him talk for at least an hour straight.
Unfiltered.
Unfiltered Leftos, yeah. The explicit tag will definitely be on that that episode. But keep everyone who's interested, you know, just make yourself known in the forum, make a good contribution, get to know us, let us get to know you, and we'll see. And whenever positions come up, give us a shout and say, hey, give me a look and give my work consideration, because we'll certainly look at anyone who's keen and going to be around for the long term. But just wanted to answer that question for anyone. And any further questions, you can, of course, hit us up on social media or email me directly, andrew@mba-live.com. So I think I've somehow been able to spit out everything I wanted to say in the early piece here. Like I say, I'm having a lot of trouble talking today and using all kinds of, you know, sort of, but, and all other things that English teachers would absolutely hate. One of those days, obviously. But perhaps moving on to the next topic will untie my tongue. And the next topic, I guess, is the NBA offseason,
yes,
which is in full swing.
Oh, yeah.
And we were right, Ben. We were right with a prediction.
Yes.
Dwight Howard is going to the Rockets.
Yes. But there was...
To be fair, a lot of people were reporting that was a strong possibility, so we weren't going right out on a limb.
No. We weren't pulling it out of left field.
No.
But
we got it right.
Yep.
That, and on this podcast, that's a win.
Yep.
I'm going to take the win.
It doesn't matter if you win by one. As long as you get that, as long as your team gets that W, it's all good. But there was...
I'll flop my way to victory if I have. That's a legitimate tactic, don't you know?
I've actually been in a situation in an actual basketball game where the ref actually tried altering the score, and the scorers are going, no, this is what happened, because it was regarding a free throw mistake. And so we went from winning to drawing because of this.
Same thing happened to me playing the juniors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very sloppy.
Yeah. Like the score bench is going, no, this is what happened. What are you doing? No, this isn't right. So, but yeah, so that was a chip.
Yeah.
And, yeah, with regards to the Dwight news, there was that rumor speculation that
he was 50-50. Yeah.
Well, he'd agreed to, but then he had, like, almost in a sense, buyer's remorse, and he changed his mind. It was like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, so, Chris Broussard of ESPN reported that.
Yes.
And Leftos pointed out, we believed him, Chris Broussard. And, yeah, that's the problem. And I know we were talking about it as well on we were chatting about it on Facebook. I remember at the time, and I said, the sad thing is you could buy it, you know, with all the indecision.
Yeah.
It was such a bizarre thing for him to do, and in retrospect, so unlikely. But for a moment, you think,
we are talking Dwight Howard here, yeah.
Yeah, is he legit? But no, he is indeed going to Houston. A lot of people pointed out that the 50-50 might have been changing his Twitter picture to him in a Rockets jersey, but still leaving the Lakers back his Twitter. So maybe that's where those unsubstantiated reports came about. But indeed, he's leaving, and Kobe tweeted that picture of him with Pau Gasol walking away, crestfallen, which I think he deleted afterwards. Maybe he felt that was a little bit too much of a dickish move.
No, well, I don't know if you saw what Ice Cube had said, like at a concert, like a couple of day or two later.
Oh, I can imagine. A lot of people have been, yeah.
Well, it was nice to sort of hear the word, you know, something rhyme with Howard, with coward and that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, just the other.
It's not the most. It's not the greatest linguistic accomplishment.
No.
You know, in rap or elsewhere.
No.
To be honest, that one writes itself.
No, but the beef or the sort of strong point of it is words that we can't use at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah.
The other thing about the Houston Dwight situation was apparently the Rockets were fined $150K for public comments during the moratorium.
The moratorium period. Yep. Yeah, I believe, and the speculation is that it was Daryl Morey's tweet, "Welcome to Houston, Dwight Howard," or something along those lines. Yeah. So it's going to cost them $88 million plus $150,000
yep.
to bring him to Houston, basically.
Yep. And hope it's worth it.
I think it'll work out. I mean, there's a lot of Lakers fans writing him off and everything, and I understand because he probably didn't leave them the best impression with some of the stuff he did last year, but he still is one of the top big men in the league, one of the top centers in the game. I will say that I'll take Joakim Noah over Howard at the moment for simple loyalty and giving effort, 100% effort every night. But it's difficult to argue with Howard's skills. And apparently Howard will be working with Hakeem again, as will Noah, which is welcome news for both of those players, I would say. And yeah, with Harden there to take the pressure off, the Rockets looking pretty good. They were 45 wins last year.
Yeah, they could hit the 60 mark.
60, I don't know. I mean, I definitely could see them getting above 50. You know, the 55 wins and being a player in the West, depending on how healthy everyone is.
Yeah, true. And you know, is Dwight Howard still 100% from his little problems that he had?
Yeah, will Jeremy Lin bounce back a bit? Yeah. You know? Will they be Linning? Will it be Linsanity? So between the indecision and Linsanity, we've got all the whole media, you know. Yeah. We've got all kinds of headlines for this this move.
I'm looking forward to this season. Sort of seeing if these big moves had paid off for everyone. And because it's all planning up until the 2014 free agency, of course.
Yeah, well, all the speculation that LeBron's going here or LeBron's going there. I think LeBron's going to keep his talents in South Beach, frankly. I mean, there's no reason for him to leave.
I think he's enjoying the life there. There's the interesting rumor that, you know, Melo's already 50-50 on going to LA and to play for the Lakers. It's like, oh, jeez. So, yeah, we got a year hype train to sort of see what happens with that.
Can he even opt out? I was pretty sure he was under a long-term deal.
I'm not sure.
I'll look that up while we're talking. But yeah, I mean, well, he's in New York. I thought that's where he wanted to be.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he grew up playing college there, obviously with Syracuse and that. So to me, it doesn't seem logical in some way. But
no, he can actually opt out at the end of the season. So it is technically possible. But yeah, I don't know about that one. I mean, are the Lakers going to be in any better shape to compete than the Knicks? I mean,
yeah, that's true. But who knows? You know, it could be the opportunity of having their own reality show that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That gets LA the golden ticket, I suppose. So
keeping up with the Anthony.
Yeah.
speaking of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles other team, or last season the Clippers were the best team, and the Lakers were something of the other team. They just re-signed Chris Paul, who was very quick to sign on the dotted line.
Yep.
So good news for the Clippers. And we don't say that very often, or we haven't said that very often since they, for the Clippers, although this year certainly a lot more. They also got Darren Collison, re-signed Matt Barnes and Ryan Hollins. I'm just taking a look.
Yeah.
They completed that trade of Karen Butler went to Phoenix for Jared Dudley, and they got JJ Redick for a second round pick from Milwaukee, and also traded Eric Bledsoe to the Suns as well. So pretty solid deals right there. I mean, Darren Collison's a more than capable replacement for Bledsoe. Barnes was a big part, and Redick's a shooter. Chris Paul's one of the best point guards in the game. Clippers, and again, it feels weird to say this after growing up and the Clippers were the joke team.
Yeah, exactly.
Clippers are looking pretty good.
Yeah, definitely second-round threat, you reckon? Conference final threat?
I'd think so. And, of course, they've got Doc Rivers as well, so they're going to have better coaching on the sidelines than old VDN, Vinny Del Negro. So, yeah, I would imagine that there won't be that first-round meltdown this year, and there's question marks over other teams, like the Grizzlies, who are replacing their coach and making moves there as well. So, yeah, I mean, maybe even conference finals if the ball bounces their way. You know, it depends how, like anything, whether they can stay healthy and whether some of their guys can improve. Blake Griffin's got to get a bit of a better post game, I would say. Although he's showing flashes here and there, and his jump is looking better than it did when he came into the league. But
still a bit of work to do.
Still a bit of work to do. But along with the Warriors, if you're going to bandwagon anyone in the West, I think the Clippers. I think there's still room on that trolley.
Yeah. But speaking of the Warriors, you know, they've picked up Iggy officially now. So
yes.
And they've got an interesting roster, and I'd be I think it'll be good, refreshing sort of new wave in the West of the dominant teams now. Instead of it being the same top four all the time, you know, it could be very mixed up now with obviously the Clippers and the Warriors in the mix alone. So, I think we're going to be in for an interesting 3 or 4 seasons to see which of those teams come out on top before the West and that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's great the Warriors have got such a great, passionate fan base that supports them,
Yeah.
even through so many years of hardship. And now they've actually got a good team and a bright future. Yeah, I mean, that's
And a new stadium and location on the way.
new stadium. They've just I'm just looking at the transactions here on Hoops Hype. They've exercised a contract option on Mark Jackson, so he's going to be coaching. I thought he should have been Coach of the Year. Frankly, I would have given that to him over George Karl, although I still feel that George Karl got a bit of a rough go in Denver there,
Yeah.
getting fired.
I mean, they got to the second round. You know, they beat expectations, so.
Yeah, for a moment there, it looked like they might even upset the Spurs.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the Spurs came through and turned it up and were a few missed free throws away from being the champions. So, you know, the Warriors didn't do too badly.
No.
They did themselves proud, and
Oh, definitely.
of course, our man Bogut is
Yes.
looking healthy again, and hopefully he stays that way.
Fingers crossed. Knock on wood.
Fingers
Do
crossed.
what you need to do.
Everything, yeah, absolutely.
There's some wood.
He's had a, he's had a.
Yep.
Yep, it came through. I got it in the recording. It's cool.
Sweet.
But yeah, he's certainly had some bad luck there. And I watched the his special on Aussies Abroad on ESPN Australia actually, and they were showing footage of his injury when he injured his elbow.
Yep.
And that, oh, it was such a gruesome
It
fall. I mean,
was, hey.
it's on YouTube, so anyone can check it out. But it'd been a while since I saw it, and oh, it reminded me just how sickening it was. And then to then come back from that, and then come down another player's foot and have that stress fracture. You know, it's been a bad time for him. But I hate that people call him a bust, which is ridiculous. I think he's had a pretty good career, if not for some freak injuries. And they have been freak injuries. I mean,
Yeah.
come down on someone's foot or slip off the rim and land so badly on your arm like that.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah,
you got to take into
yeah.
account, was it 2 seasons ago now? He was second behind Dwight in with regards to, what was it, having
Oh,
10 plus rebounds
in double doubles, you mean?
and 2.3 or 2.5 blocks a game.
Oh, yeah. He led the league
Yeah.
a couple of years ago and was all NBA third team, so
Yeah.
he was on his way up.
And, you know, and he was pretty close to probably being an actual all-star, and I think just before he did his arm as well, or just before he had another injury, you know, he
Yeah, that season
just
was.
after all-star game, it was like people realized why wasn't he in it?
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
and then yeah, he had that injury probably a couple of weeks after, and that, and it was like, ah, damn.
Yeah.
So, if he has a good season this year, I can't see why not. He could actually potentially make the all-star game for the West.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. I'd love to see him get back to that. And we saw him get have some one of his best games in a long time in the playoffs when they beat the Nuggets. And it's funny you listen to him talk after the game actually, and showing that Aussie almost bogan spirit of defiance of you, none of you believe we were going to be here, and
Yeah.
none of you were talking about us, and here we are. And yep, that's our Andrew. But it's actually weird to hear an Australian accent on American TV, a proper Australian accent.
Not the
So
overly sort of one that they try and
not an imitation one that's sort of a bit cleaned up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a natural accent, which I also notice whenever I'm editing the podcast as well. I hear us talk, and I hear it, which is funny because when we're talking, I don't hear it. We're just talking, but like, oh, we certainly do have accents. But yeah, it was the same when Luke Longley played for the Bulls. You'd be hearing all these Americans talk, and then Luke would come out and have his comments. Like, whoa, that's a weird accent that I have too.
I remember when I was in the US in 92, 93, and this is sort of just over Christmas Boxing Day sales and that, and it made the news over there because I think some people got injured or someone nearly freaking died or something like that in Melbourne when they had these sales, and they're interviewing one of the guys who was like basically stomped on, and he had like, I think he had blood pissing down from his head, but he had like the most Ocker Bogan accent, and it's
Yeah.
like, crap, do
Yep.
we sound like that, really?
Apparently so. Yeah.
So yeah, good times.
At times. Well, of course, with our refined accents on this podcast, we're doing Australia proud, naturally.
Yeah.
Just looking at some of the other moves here. Of course, Toronto traded Andrea Bargnani to the Knicks for Quentin Richardson, Steve Novak, Marcus Camby, and a bunch of second-round picks in the years to follow.
But Camby goes back to the team he was drafted by.
Yes, yes, and be interesting to see if he actually plays.
Yes.
Because he's nearing the end of his career. I don't think he saw a lot of action for the Knicks last year. Could be wrong.
Well, I don't think he did. I don't think he got as much court action as he should have.
Yeah, but he might see a bit of time for them and perhaps a bit of a farewell tour for him there in with the Raptors. For the Knicks, I mean, is that really what they needed? I mean, Bargnani, he doesn't bring defense or rebounding, brings some three-point shooting, although he hasn't done that particularly well the last couple of years. With all the positive moves the Knicks have made, I don't know about you, but I don't like that one
for them. No, I don't think it really did anything for him.
I'd take Novak. If they want three-point shooting, I'd have kept Novak, frankly.
See what happens with him, but yeah, I don't think this trade did any good for him at all. So I know what they're thinking, but I guess we'll find out season to end.
Yeah. Pacers picked up CJ Watson, pretty solid there, and re-signed David West, who was big for them in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat. Good moves there, I'd say, especially getting West.
Yeah, definitely. He's been an all-star, so excuse me again, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, what can you say? Even when he was feeling under the weather himself in the Eastern Conference Finals, he was doing a pretty good job. Houston completed their trade, Thomas Robinson to Portland for a couple of draft picks, and a couple of this year's picks, I believe. I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce their surnames. but especially with the way I'm struggling to talk tonight. But they completed that deal.
Yep.
Thomas Robinson gets another fresh start, I guess. The Birdman is back with your Heat.
Yes, which is actually really happy about that, because the rebounding edge and the sort of his intensity and sort of character was very helpful for the Heat. I think he was there when they started the 27 game win streak and that, so he was definitely a huge part of that, just as that energy player. So I'm happy with that. Same with Ray Allen returning.
Yep, bumping into the contract. Yep. Solid moves there by the defending champions. Yep.
Yeah, the only sort of thing is, will they amnesty Mike Miller? Because that way
that's interesting.
Because they got they could end up saving quite a few million in luxury tax.
Well, if they want to save on luxury tax and get rid of somebody who isn't perhaps vital to the championship, maybe they could just amnesty Bosch. Because Miller certainly played more of a role in Game 7 than Bosch did. But no, Bosch is probably underrated, sadly, but yeah.
Are you suggesting we amnesty left us as well after the intro that you gave him last week for the podcast?
I hadn't thought of that. But he's moved on anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But speaking of left us, he gets to be very excited about the Pistons move.
Yes.
Signing Josh Smith for about $14, $15 million a year. Now, Pistons fans are not over the moon about it, which is understandable. Josh Smith is one of those players that can do a lot of things quite well and can do some really good things for a team, but he's got some really frustrating habits. And you're sort of going to take with the good with the bad, and whether you like having him on the team or not, I think can change play to play. And Soru in the forum compared him to Carlos Boozer. And as a Bulls fan, yes, absolutely. It's a very similar signing in so much as he was the biggest name available to them, and it's a move they kind of had to make so they could make a splash in the free agent market. He's a player that can do some good things, but it's going to bring the same kind of thing, I think, where you love him when he's great, and you're like, this was a fantastic signing. I'm actually happy they did this, went through. You know, good work, Joe D. And then when it doesn't work out, why did you do that, Jody? You brought us our first championship in 1989, and now this. So I think there might be some bipolar reactions from Pistons fans this season with Josh Smith, which I guess comes with the territory.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand. Like, with me, my personal opinion about Josh Smith is I feel he is an overpaid street baller.
Yeah.
I mean, he can do some nice things, but I know, just whether it be his mentality or...
he's a good defender. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I mean, he can get some nice blocks. And I don't see him being all-star caliber. I just more see him as a street baller in a sense. So, but that's just me. So,
well, there's probably quite a few people who would agree because it's not the most popular signing that the Pistons have had. Although they are bringing Chauncey Billups back.
Yes, he's looks to be confirmed as of today that he'll be, or just an hour or so ago, that he'll be returning back to Detroit. So.
That might be a bit more popular, that move.
Yes. From what I saw, Leftos is pretty happy about that. Same with Conrad. So,
Rip Hamilton might be available to them as well, since he was cut by the Bulls.
Yeah.
So if they want to do the full-on reunion, they've they've got that option. And as we mentioned at the top of the podcast, Sheed is there as the assistant coach. So, it's 2004 all over again, except they're much older and not in a position to win anything, but
it's like a 10-year reunion. Actually, it will be pretty much a 10-year because it was 2000.
Very close to a 10-year reunion,
because it was 2004 when they won it, wasn't it?
It was 2004, yeah.
So, it's like rocking up back to your high school reunion and seeing everyone, and it's like, damn, you got old.
Well, I actually had my 10-year high school reunion last year, and we all look fantastic, especially me.
I actually never went to mine. I know I wasn't very popular, I suppose. I was pretty much hated, and I hate pretty much everyone, so I think it worked out well for everyone.
It was good that you didn't attend.
Yes.
Everyone felt comfortable with the outcome.
Yes.
Well, see, American Reunion came out last year, so after seeing that, I thought, well, I've got to go to the reunion. The idea that someone could steal a jet ski and, hook up with someone's mum, the potential for shenanigans was just off the charts, so I had to go. The Bulls officially signed Mike Dunleavy, and I've kind of come around on that one because it's been pointed out to me he actually shot the ball better than Marco Bellinelli last year and rebounds a bit better as well. So he is older, and I'm not going to say this is going to be the move that puts the Bulls into the championship picture or anything. A healthy Derrick Rose is what's going to give them a shot at knocking off the Heat or anyone else in the East, not the signing of Mike Dunleavy. Although you never know. You know, Mike Miller came out of obscurity to help the Heat win a championship, but it's
stranger things have happened.
Yeah, this is a move that I think's is quite good. The Hawks got Paul Millsap, and pretty cheaply as well. Mm. I thought that was a steal for them. And meanwhile, the Jazz's other big man, Al Jefferson, ended up going to the Bobcats.
Right.
So
the Jazz will be on a hunt for a big man, obviously.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're going to try and build up Kanter, Enes Kanter, and Derek Favors.
That's right.
So I guess they're bringing them along, but they'll be probably rebuilding, retooling this season, and having their shot at the Andrew Wiggins sweepstakes.
Yep, I think a few teams will be.
Celtics,
Lakers, even.
Possibly even the Lakers, which Sora will be really happy to see them have all the cap space and the top pick. The Celtics and Lakers rivalry will never die. No, should it? It's one of the best things in NBA history, of course. JJ Hickson, where did he go again? Did he go to Cleveland?
No, he was from crap. I don't know.
He was with the Blazers. Whoa, I'm just having a mental blank. I'm probably because I'm seeing. Well, I looked that up. Andrew Bynum, I know, is going to Cleveland.
Yep,
he's
agreed
to, agreed to terms.
Just trying.
And only $6 million of that contract is guaranteed as well, which is, I mean, Bynum's obviously had his issues over the past, pretty much his whole career with injuries, and certainly this last season when he missed it all. And will he play? How good will he be? But for only $6 million. Only $6 million. Must be nice to say that. But for only a partially guaranteed contract with a team option for the second year, it's worth the risk, I would think.
Yeah.
For what he can do when he is healthy.
I mean, if it's a 2 year option, it could pay off in the long run. Take the take this as an opportunity to sort of really show off that you're not as injury prone and you can actually be consistent and be a star player. And then make it up in your next contract, especially with it being such a short one that this current one is. So, definitely take the opportunity as a way to sort of go stick it to all the doubters. So, use it as, what's the word I'm looking for? Motivation. That's the one.
Motivation, yeah.
Well, that's something I've been lacking for a while.
The Nuggets got got Hixon. Well, that's right. He did play for Cleveland at one point, went to the Blazers last year. And so the Nuggets have got Randy Foy and J.J. Hixon, apparently looking at Monte Ellis as well. So that's a changing of the guard there in Denver completely after the ousting their GM and coach. I think they're going to take a step back this year after their best season, which is a bit disappointing for everyone in Denver, but I guess is the way it goes when new management comes in and wants to put their stamp on the game.
That's true. And, I mean, Montez fired his agent as well, so...
Is he represented by Jay-Z now?
Someone else. Double-check who...
Speaking of agents, while you're looking that up, Andrew Bynum is represented by an agent called David Lee, which I find pretty amusing because whenever it shows up in an article about him, obviously they've got some a script in the page that automatically links to player profile. so it links to the player profile of David Lee of the Warriors. So he can do it all, David Lee. He can give you 20 points, 10 rebounds, and negotiate a $20 million contract. You know, who else can do that in the league?
Multitasker.
Well, that's right. He's multi-talent.
It looks like he's teamed up with, or from what the Slam Online article goes, is looking to team up with the powerful Dan Feagan.
Ah, Dan Feagan, of course.
Not too familiar with Dan Feagan personally, like on who he is, but
Dan Feagan actually, he was Yi Jianlian's, and I'm saying that wrong, I'm sure, his agent.
Okay.
When he was looking to come to the NBA, and they were doing all those weird negotiations with the Bucks, that he didn't want to go to Milwaukee because it didn't have a big enough
market.
Didn't have a big enough sort of Asian
market,
and then they floated that story that he was concerned about not getting a girlfriend in Milwaukee or something. But it was, it was very weird, and it was, you left wondering, is he worth it? And his career to date would suggest probably not. But I remember seeing that and thinking, Feagan, you were just totally failing as an agent. Well, you know, maybe not. He was looking out for his client's best interest, but it certainly made a mockery of the draft and everything else at the time. I think we've covered most of the big moves. Washington picked up Eric Maynard. Draft picks are signing, of course.
The only other ones that I got is like Jeff Teague agrees to a 4-year, $32 million deal with the Bucks.
That's fairly solid, that one. I'd like it if his brother, Mark East, could actually turn out as good as he is.
The other ones that I got is Corey Brewer, sticking with the Wolves by the looks of it. 3-year, $15 million deal. Tyler Hansbrough agrees to a 2-year deal with the Raptors. That was all I had.
Yeah. So it's been a pretty wild off-season for the first couple of days. We've seen some significant players officially change address.
Yep.
And now Dwight Howard made his decision fairly early on in the piece. So the excitement of that is the excitement and the indecision and the ability to criticize him has gone out the window. So yeah, I guess people are just gonna have to wait until he starts missing free throws to have a shot at him. But yeah, certainly a very a flurry of moves to start the off season, and a lot of players still looking for homes, so it'll be interesting to see where some other names end up. Monte Ellis, of course, still negotiating with a few teams. Apparently the Bulls were in the running to get him. I don't know about that, whether he'd be a great fit, but apparently he's off the table anyway, so it doesn't really matter, I suppose.
Is Brandon Jennings a free agent?
He is, so I'm guessing with T going there that maybe he'll be moving on, unless they're looking to really overpay for not that stellar a rotation at point guard. I mean, Teague is solid. Jennings, I feel, is a bit underrated at times because I think he has got skill. People say he's terrible. He's too talented to be terrible. But again, not the most efficient shooter,
no,
of course. So between him and Teague, it's probably not the best point guard rotation in the league, yet would probably be a very expensive one if he re-signs with them. So I'm guessing he's moving on. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Both he and Ellis moving on, apparently.
another rebuilding here, I guess, would be for Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, we were talking about it before the podcast. Who do you think is going to be those bottom teams in the league this year?
Oh, yeah. So we could do that now, I reckon.
Sure.
I reckon... What the page didn't load, sorry. I reckon... Do you want to do it for the
for the conference, or do you just want maybe three teams from each conference, or do you just want to do...
Sure, let's do three teams from each conference. Might be a bit easier.
Okay, so let's see.
I mean, we have no fear of being wrong in our predictions on this podcast. We've proven that many times before, so...
All right, so just sort of looking through. For the, I'll go in the East first. I think the Wizards are going to be terrible this year. The Magic. Trying to think with ATL at the moment. They could... It's still going to have to sort of see what happens between where Monte and Brandon Jennings and that go. So it's either sort of going to be between Atlanta and possibly Milwaukee at this stage.
Yep.
For the East, for me. In the West, obviously with Kobe being out, the Caveman, I mean, yeah, he returns to LA. That's sort of, just remembered who we forgot to mention as well.
Oh, yes.
Chris Kaman. But I think the Lakers are going to be too hurt for this season. I reckon they could be potential lottery pick team. Not too sure about Pelicans at this stage. They could. I might throw.
They made a couple of decent deals. Yeah. With the Pelicans. They got Tyreke Evans, or he's going.
Oh, that's right. So I won't. So it might not be them. Maybe Sacramento is still at the moment.
The Kings, yeah.
And maybe Phoenix. I think that.
Yeah, I'm not sold on them doing a whole lot of.
If it's, I'll throw in a fourth one. Maybe Utah.
Yeah, having lost a couple of their...
Yeah, so I think that those would be my picks for who's going to be the sort of bottom dwellers for each conference.
Sure. I think the Celtics in the East are going to be...
Oh, shit, forgot about them.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty easy with everyone leaving them. So, has that deal actually gone through yet, the Pearson-Garnett deal? I don't think it's officially gone through, but I believe it's...
I think it did. I think it went through day one of the... Like, it was the first, one of the first to be approved, I think.
I was just looking.
I'll just try and check as well.
No, it hasn't officially gone through, but as far as I'm aware, it's just pending. It's just a formality.
Yeah.
So it's going to be going through. And, yeah, so Celtics, they're in the, they're tanking.
Yeah.
Although, you know, you got to blow it up at some point, especially coming off a successful era where the players are older and it's time to move on. So I don't really like the term tanking, because I don't think too many teams have really gone that far out of their way to lose and intentionally lost games. I think they've just been terrible and realized, look, it's time to start over. You know, we will, if we're terrible, we're terrible. That would kind of help us with a draft pick. But as far as actually intentionally losing games, intentionally tanking in that respect, I don't think that's ever happened.
Do you reckon the Cleveland team that...
They got LeBron. Were they in the Nuggets when they're in the race? Nah, see, I still think it's a case of, you look at the roster and could they really done anything better? That was a terrible roster that those teams had, so there wasn't much better they could do. But, so the Celtics, I'm not sure about the Raptors, whether they'll be much better. The Cavaliers, I think, are going to be better. The Pistons as well, at least up into the mediocre range. So I'm going to say the Celtics and the Bucks and... Oh, you always want to say the Bobcats, but they've got made a couple of good moves.
And so and they weren't
and the Magic.
The fact that they weren't the worst team last season as well is a positive sign.
And Magic, Celtics, Bucks, and yeah, I'll say Wizards. I don't think they've made anything let's see. And in the West, bottom three, I'll definitely say the Kings.
Yep.
Although they made a, you know. Actually, no, they got Vasquez, who's a pretty decent point guard, in exchange for Evans. They don't have a whole lot of people for him to pass to. So I'll go the Kings, and I'll say the Suns.
Yep.
So two from the Pacific in the bottom. And that third one's a tough one, because, I mean, the Mavericks haven't done a whole lot with their roster so far. But at the same time... Tell you what, I'll go with Jazz. I'll go with Jazz, since they sort of seem to be blowing up as well.
Yep.
So, Jazz, Suns, and Kings. But it's going to be a bit of a tough race between lottery and mediocrity, and it remains to be seen how many teams what they do. The Bucks, actually, I remembered, have signed OJ Mayo, or they've agreed to terms with him as well.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So he's other little moves. As I said, it's been such a busy first couple of days of the off season. There's been a flurry of movement. So. those would be my for the moment in this very early stages of the off season, and a lot of teams have only got a few players under contract, like the Mavericks. So it remains to be seen whether they can actually put together a decent team. Maybe they're around 500 again. Maybe they're right down at the bottom. Kind of a shame for Dirk Nowitzki in the twilight of his career to have to play through that. But the Mavericks have lost out on pretty much everyone in free agency. So I've had a bad run of it.
Maybe they need a new PR person to try and help lure these guys, or maybe Cuban needs to step out of the talking reins. I don't know. Something must be happening that they try and make.
They've missed out.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just happened this year. It's happened the last couple of years with free agency.
I think the problem is the players they were targeting, the circumstances haven't favored it. Chris Paul obviously wants to stay with the Clippers because they're on the rise. And Howard clearly felt he had a better pitch from the Rockets as far as being able to compete for championships. So,
but even like, last year and that,
I guess Brooklyn made a couple of moves and they could pay him more than anyone else. So I guess the circumstances just haven't worked out as well as they would have liked for the, obviously, saying the obvious, but yeah, players have just had other reasons to go elsewhere or stay with their current teams. So they've had the money. They've had the money at the right time, but it hasn't been the right circumstances as far as the players feeling and desires and where they want to go. I guess it could just be that. But they've got a lot of money to spend now, the Mavericks, so they've got a chance.
Just sort of thinking. Damn it, I had a question. Now it slipped my damn mind.
Will LeBron be going to the Cavaliers?
No, that's right. It was regarding Greg Oden. Where will Greg Oden go? He's getting a lot of interest from, it was about six teams.
I wouldn't mind if the Bulls picked him up as another center on the roster, because he's got even more question marks than Andrew Bynum, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, when he was healthy and playing about half the game, he was giving pretty good minutes. So if he is healthy again somehow, if he's finally gotten his body in shape that it can play and stand up to the rigors of the NBA season, for the veteran minimum, for a small contract, the Bulls, or certainly anyone, it wouldn't be such a bad investment for them. No one's going to give him a $15 million contract. I don't think the Mavericks and Cuban are going to be that desperate.
Well,
so it probably won't happen. Weren't the Heat also interested in him?
Yeah,
I could see him going
there. He could try and chase that ring as well. We do need a solid center. So if indications are about, his improvements and that, and how healthy and strong he's looking at the moment, that could be beneficial. So, you definitely want to take him for a minimum, as much as so, just in case, maybe only play him periodically throughout the season, and then sort of build up to the playoffs.
To see where it's at,
just make sure that, or to avoid another injury or ending or career-ending injury.
Yeah, in general, I'm hoping we see fewer injuries next season, because we've seen a lot of them the last couple of years.
Definitely.
In the lockout season and this season. And Kevin Love in Minnesota, I mentioned him because I was doing the rosters today and adjusting the lineups for Minnesota, and it came to mind that he had a pretty ordinary year with all his injuries in Minnesota. And he's actually has made an all-star team. So he's a star player in the league. And once again, injuries taking their toll. Yeah. We had a, and it reminds me, we had that year towards the end of the 90s when a lot of the players that were supposed to be the next generation weren't panning out. Like Penny Hardaway and Grant Hill were having those injuries, and we had to wait until LeBron and Melo and Wade and Bosch and everyone came along in 2003 to have that next generation of stars come along.
Yeah.
I mean, there was Duncan and Kobe came along, and Iverson, of course, and Nash. So that was. We didn't have no stars, but a lot of the players that were supposed to be
the next big thing,
the next big thing, and the elder statesmen, as players like Duncan were coming along and LeBron, the established stars that were supposed to be the established stars at the time, like Penny Hardaway, would have been much like Magic Johnson was when I was growing up in the 90s, or Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, the players that have been around there for around about a decade, and the well-established stars that they unfortunately had their careers derailed by injuries. And I'd hate to see that happen again, certainly with Derrick Rose, naturally, but also Rajon Rondo and Kevin Love, and even people, even players like Danilo Gallinari, who's not an all-star but a significant player. We just saw so many players go down with injury that it wasn't. It was a pretty good season last season, but perhaps not as exciting as it could have been with so many players.
Yeah, exactly. You know, how different would the Celtics and the Bulls seasons have been? You know, Pacers with Danny Granger, even. With Kobe, this little, I suppose, will and determination get the Lakers past getting swept? You know, could they have made it to the next round? Could they even win a game or two in that series? So yeah, it was just a lot of situations where you're like, well, if you had an alternate universe, how would it have panned out?
Yeah.
So yep.
If you had an uninjured roster, like I put together, what could you do in the fantasy of like we do in basketball video games? Yeah. So hopefully we'll see those players come back strong next year and stay healthy, because it's not fun to see the big names in suits.
No.
To the point where memes are being made about.
Yes.
Particularly one star in general, if it comes to mind. But speaking of that, before we have to move on to a couple of other topics, who do you see as the top teams next year? And that's perhaps an even more difficult one, yeah, because teams aren't finished rebuilding, and there are a couple of teams that could really be gearing up to be good next year. Okay. It's probably easier to pick the basement dwellers, because we can look at their roster and say, well,
yeah, that's true.
unless the Heat are just going to give away LeBron for nothing. You're probably not going anywhere.
That's true.
But yeah, so looking at maybe the top three or four teams from each conference, who have you got this early stage?
I think obviously with Derrick Rose coming in, I think Chicago will be up there. Mm-hmm. Obviously Miami, especially with the fact that they've got all their core players back. Pacers could be really strong again. I see them doing another run. But yeah, I think they're going to be the three strongest, and then probably fourth will be New York, maybe.
Yeah, New York or Brooklyn. It's hard to pick.
In the West, obviously with a healthy Westbrook, the Thunder could be strong again. Warriors and the Clippers and Houston, San Antonio. I think they're going to be the strongest. Maybe even Memphis. You know, if they might be able to be competitive again. So yeah.
I'm going to go in the East. The Heat are going to be the top seed, I would imagine. I'm going to say the Bulls are number two. You know, there's still talk about whether Rose is going to come back. And it won't go away until he actually says, yes, I'm back and here I am on the court, and we see it happen. Kind of like NBA. He's the NBA Live 14 of of players right now. People, you know, like what they hear, but they want to see it happen before they get too invested. But Bulls, Pacers, I feel, yeah, could still be in the top four, especially bringing back West, and they've still got their core there. Heat, Bulls. I'm going to say Brooklyn with the getting Pierce and Garnett. I'm going with Brooklyn as third, and then Pacers and Knicks in a close battle for four and five. I think the Knicks might take a slight step back this year, but still be very competitive. We might actually see an Eastern Conference that's pretty good this year, which
a competitive
nice.
One instead of the two teams that are going to sort of be the easy picks,
the least in conference, as they call it. Yeah, in the out West, I agree with you. The Thunder, probably the along with the Spurs, the teams that are in the best position. They're already up there and bringing back their core, although it depends when Westbrook's going to be back, I suppose. Although they didn't do too badly without him, but it certainly did hurt them after a while. Against the Grizzlies, didn't have enough steam. So Spurs, Thunder. I don't know whether I want to put the Rockets there just yet. It feels like maybe they need a couple more moves, or maybe they need to prove themselves at this early stage. Because, I mean, this is a really early prediction we're making.
That's true.
I think
especially after the experiment that's happened in LA, it didn't quite pan out for him. So yeah,
but I mean, we'll obviously revisit these predictions as the season begins. But if we're looking at it early with the big moves that have happened, the big changes that could happen as far as returns like Derrick Rose, third. I'm gonna go with the Warriors. It's a tough choice between them and the Clippers. I think that's your top four. Clippers and Clippers, Warriors, Spurs, and Thunder in some order, depending on who can get out of the quick start, who's got the most fuel in the tank. Spurs, you know, I just can't count them out. They keep wanting to, but there they were, so close to winning a championship, and I don't think losing is going to knock them right all the way out. They're not. They've still got the core together. They are going to be a year older, but they're still pretty damn good. I don't know whether they'll get back to the finals. That might have been Duncan's last shot, which is kind of a shame. But at the same time, still up there, still competitive. But yeah, those Warriors are very intriguing, and the Clippers. So
who knows? The Spurs players could be cryogenically frozen over the summer.
Well, Greg Popovich has shown he's not above sitting players to keep them fresh, even if it's on national TV. So they'll find a way, I'm sure. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it shapes up the rest of the offseason and whether our predictions will change. But early on, those strike me as the teams that are in the best position right now, having made those moves to be at the top and bottom. So we'll throw those predictions out there and see how embarrassed we are
come season and
at the beginning of the season, halfway through the season, and then when the season's over. But we got the Dwight Howard one, so
yay for us. Yes, you can take the money to the bank on that one.
If anyone wants investment advice,
yeah.
maybe not.
Although, surely some of our advice can be better than some of what the US banks were doing before. What caused the GFC?
Yeah. We've yet to cause anyone a huge financial crisis. So we've got that going for us.
We haven't kicked millions of people out of their own home because of bad loans or bad advice.
And not because we haven't been trying. You understand?
You got to squatter somewhere.
Yeah. Well, but I guess that's going to do it for the NBA discussion. Any other points that come to mind? I think we've.
I think we have.
Probably have more to talk about next week with those contracts.
Just sort of thinking with some of the full branding for the All-Star Game stuff.
Oh, yes.
I think you saw the picture that I posted a couple of days ago.
A few more of the logos for the All-Star, yeah.
There's about. Aside from the primary logo, where is it? Just trying to find the folder that it's at.
A lot of those partial logos with the...
Where did I save it? From my Facebook thing. Did I store it on the Pelicans, or was it... Oh, yeah, here we go. Aside from the primary logo, there's an extra four other logos. And the first logo, or first alternative logo, sort of secondary logo, so it looks like... Like they tried copying the older USA basketball logo with the star inside the A.
Yeah.
And doesn't quite execute as well, in my opinion. And inside it, you can sort of see the tapering of the basketball that they're going to be using at the moment, particularly in the preseason stuff, with the curved lines and that go on it. The star logo with the pelican and the wing is a beautiful logo. Like, it's probably one of the best ones that I've seen for an All-Star game. And then the NOLA street sign one is really good. And then obviously the star, just the star principle logo with the NBA, Jerry West sort of pose and that with the sort of fluid B or whatever they're called, sort of branching out around it, looks pretty nice as well. So a pretty solid All-Star logo package. Just a first primary logo and first secondary logo could be improved a little bit, but other than that, can't complain on that side of it.
I thought it looked okay. I mean, I can't pretend that I was overly excited about any of them, but yeah, you know, it's solid enough. It's better than the Thunder logo.
Oh yeah.
If that's the standard that we're drawing, is it better than the Thunder's logo? Yes. Well, you know, it passes the mustard.
Sorry, I'll let you finish.
Well, they did an okay job with the Pelicans logo itself, so they got a decent design team. They sold me on the Pelicans name. Yep. So.
the Summer League teams have sort of been wearing, some of the teams have been wearing the sleeve jerseys, like the Pacers and the Thunder and the Magic. And I have to admit, the Oklahoma Thunder one, where it has like the state shape and then the OKC logo in it, makes me want to vomit something shocking.
Yeah, well, no surprise there. I mean, we're not fans of the T-shirts.
But the Magic one isn't too bad compared, but still just does not look right on a basketball court. I mean, I'd probably prefer admittedly seeing if they were to do it. It's just, obviously, Adidas has had their hand in. it's better doing it in the summer league games where really no one really watches it compared to. But if they do it in the season, then it's just bad, bad, bad. There is some minor changes to the new alternative Blazers jersey. The back of it with the numbers and that. Last year's ones were a thick sort of black bold text with the thin white outline stroke. Whereas this year it's sort of got the white number primary, and then they were sort of going with a bit of the retro look with the sort of not quite a full drop shadow, but a slightly duplicate black layer that was sort of repositioned slightly more forward in front of the white number, so it sort of gives off that retro jersey look from a few years ago.
I must admit, when you posted the picture, I looked at it and thought, isn't that the one they did last year? So that's how observant I am when it comes to the Blazers jerseys, I guess.
And the front number color is the same as well. It used to be black but with the white outline, but now it's the white with the...
So some subtle changes, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to freshen it up.
And now the Suns...
After one year of having the last one.
And the Phoenix Suns are starting to tease their new jerseys and that they were supposed to have last season, but got the design in too late. Apparently the orange one is to be one of the sleeves, so the alternative jersey is to be sleeved. But from the looks of the tees with the purple that I've seen, it kind of looks like the summer league sort of collar style that they got going on. So okay. It kind of looks like it could possibly be sleeved. If not, it'll be like the Houston Rockets V-neck sort of style, if it's not sleeve. So, I mean, that color system I don't mind. But yeah, hopefully, I think the full unveil of that one's going to be in September. And the New York Knicks have...
That orange jersey we were talking about last
that's
week.
That's right, yeah.
Is it sleeved? Because all the ones I've seen haven't been
no,
sleeved.
No, that one's not sleeved. It's just a bright orange. And I don't know if it's the lighting, but not a fan of it.
Not a fan.
Yeah, they could have done something to sort of mellow it out.
Ah, mellow.
That was a happy accident.
Yeah, it's nice when you walk into these things.
And, the Phoenix Suns wordmarks for their new jerseys indicate that it'll have sort of like the Starburst sort of thing going alongside it. So hopefully pays homage.
Kind of like that old school?
Yes, like the Charles Barkley era and all that. So
nice. I like that jersey.
Yeah, still a classic one, and that was one of my favorite ones when recreating it for NBA Live. I had wanted to do it a few years earlier than I did, but first impression was it was actually going to be quite... I know I was probably a little bit worried that it may be a bit difficult to do, but it was surprisingly a lot easier than I thought. I had some weird mental block in thinking that I couldn't do it, so I don't know. I wish I did it sooner. But that was one of their better jerseys than that, so let's hope that this sort of go folks retro doesn't look so crap.
Yeah, some of the retros that they've brought in the last couple of years I haven't been a huge fan of, but they've grown on me. The Jazz's one actually grew on me. I wasn't sure about that at first, but no, I like that they've gone back to that. Although I do like some of those designs that came along towards the end of the 90s.
Yep.
The mountaintop one. I thought that was a decent enough
one. Yeah, that was a nice one. Like, even though it was purple and that, it was actually, and the teal, I guess. You know,
people hate the teal. I kind of have I don't mind the teal Pistons jersey. At least I like the logo, the horsepower inspired logo.
I mean, it works well in the logo and the uniform.
Not so much. Yeah,
you know,
I'll admit that. Yeah.
Teal in small parts, and it's like the Vancouver Grizzlies. You know, when they had that sort of aqua teal sort of look going on as well.
And the trim. Yeah, but see, I like those jerseys as well.
They were good in moderation because it wasn't too much of the teal, you know. I suppose the home...
I guess what I liked about those jerseys back in those days, and you remember the Hawks jersey, they actually pulled it out for the Classic Knights this year, it was that they were all unique.
Yep.
A lot of the jerseys these days seem to be very similar, and there's a lot of blue and red jerseys.
Yep.
So that's... I like the character of that time. And the Sonics jerseys from that era, too, I really liked as well. So if the Sonics ever do come back, I'd like to see them get that kind of design.
Yeah, I did like the 95, 96 Sonics jersey. I thought that was a really cool one. And obviously the earlier ones as well, like the 90, like Gary Payton.
That's classic. That's a classic one as
well. Can't mess with those. You know, if they were to go back up to that, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Of course, they've got to get back into the league first.
I know, like the toilet seat one was cool, but yeah, it looked too much like a toilet seat.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of teams like in social clubs using it, so it's like kind of need something new.
Yeah, yeah. Any other new attire around the league?
Not off the top of my head. I think that was it at this stage.
Right.
But I think the full showcasing of the rest of the new gear will happen in September for the media day.
Yeah, probably a pretty safe bet if they're not going to throw out a few more teasers before.
Or if EA or 2K accidentally leak.
Oh, accidentally leak it, yeah. We've seen that recent years of the screenshots and even a couple of trailers getting pulled.
Yeah. So fingers crossed that happens, guys.
Yeah, it never hurts to have that. Because, of course, even if they get pulled, the nature of the internet is that they'll be mirrored all over the internet. So we'll get to see a few glimpses of. But if that does it, shall we wrap up and just perhaps go to a couple of general gaming notes before we call it a night? Or early morning, since we're into tomorrow is when we're recording this. So I guess the first thing we should mention just real quick is that Microsoft have been beta testing their change from Microsoft points to real currency and local currency as well. And like a lot of things that Microsoft has done, and you know, we talked about this before the podcast, we've had our fun at Microsoft's expense since E3 basically, and even before that, so we don't want to go on for too long about it. But it was one of those things that was promising, changing it to local currency, and I like the idea of it. Like a lot of other things that Microsoft have done, it didn't work out particularly well with some of the beta users getting incorrect and inflated prices. Except, ironically, Australia, which for once got cheaper prices. And I don't think that's going to last.
No.
I think we're either going to get higher prices or it's going to be back to normal, if at the very least, when it comes when it's past the beta stage. But they are reimbursing the beta users who were charged and had sort of small. I say small. Sometimes
it was up to 30%. 30% increase in the UK beta testers and that. Some people made it like some of these beta testers. Let the information out publicly, and you know, within 24 hours, I think even in a sense 12 hours, 12 to 16 hours, I think Microsoft had mentioned that they're gonna correct that mistake. So good on for recognizing quick. I mean, it is a beta, so you know, there's gonna be little problems in that, but it does add to the sort of hilarity that, you know, this whole Microsoft PR situation has been since the announcement, well, since the whole deal with it quotes and all that stuff. So, I mean, yeah, I don't want to hark on them too much more. It's like beating a dead horse in a sense. So, it's still funny, but it'd be interesting to see. I mean, from memory, I think Australia, you know, it was like $5-6 cheaper with the new system in this beta test. So. And if that works out still in the full release and that's pretty good for the Australian gamers, you know, especially considering we do get charged a lot.
Absolutely. And this is digital content, so it's not like it has to be imported.
Exactly.
My concern is that, has it been said, you know, whether they're going to still release it in packs of that you have to buy a certain amount of credit in blocks? Because that's the big thing. You might be only a couple of hundred points short on the account now, but you've got to buy it in a block that you end up paying $30 or something for a block of, 1,200, 1,600 points. So you're always overpaying for what you want, because you may only want a couple of hundred points, but they don't have just 200 points available. So if I can just charge $2 here and there to my credit card instead of having to pay $30 out at a time when I don't want that much credit, that would be an improvement if they do that. And I like it being in local currency. But yeah, with everything else that's happened, I'm skeptical about how well it's going to work out. But I'll see. I mean, there's only that. I'm not going to be getting a whole lot of new games on the 360 beyond this year, I would imagine. Grand Theft Auto, of course.
I think they've announced that they're going to try and support it for the next year or two. But I don't know if they'll I mean, as long as they don't do it, I suppose, with the end of the Xbox One, where they just totally cut off from memory. I don't think they had much support after the first year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind if they cut it off, because I'm thinking, me personally, I won't be playing the 360 as much. I'll be
True.
Playing most likely PS4. And probably for most of the games, because as our the next little thing I saw here linked is PC sales are experiencing their longest sales decline in history, which, as we clamber for a PC version of NBA Live 14, is just the kind of news that we want to see. One of the analysts has attributed it to the popularity of tablets. So it's not necessarily consoles, but but tablets that are doing the damage to PC sales. And yeah, we've spoke about this before. I think Leftos pulled out an article a couple of months back that was saying the same thing, that all the OEMs were saying that they're down as much as 30%.
Yeah.
With their hardware sales. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. But it's one of those things I don't think will ever be killed off completely.
Yeah.
The PC.
No. And you know, especially for people in the design side of things, you know, they'll need it. A decent computer to handle the workloads and stuff. Programmers, businesses and stuff. I mean, yeah, they're probably. I think in a lot of cases, some businesses will probably start evolving to more of a tablet based system probably in the next 5 years or so, instead of having to constantly upgrade computers so much.
Yeah.
So it'd be cheaper for them possibly in the long run, and it'd be also the whole method of, you know, the workers being able to work from home. So,
exactly,
you know, becoming
yeah.
more of a 24-hour work environment as opposed to the 9-to-5 sort of thing that, you know, we are supposed to be doing. But they're constantly evolving into this 24-hour work cycle.
Yeah. Speaking of Grand Theft Auto, which is, may or may not be coming to the PC, there's all kinds of conflicting information about that. They released a new trailer with some gameplay footage and sneak peeks at highlighting various features, and I believe you caught it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, very impressive. Like, looks well thought out in what you could do with it, and I'm actually interested. I don't really play much in the way of GTA games.
That was going to be my next
yeah.
question, yeah. Whether you...
I've played a little bit of a couple of them.
Well, you know, if you want to play the original two, they're actually available for free online from Rockstar.
Oh.
They've made them available for
oh,
free.
That's cool. I might look at that. But yeah, I can't remember what the. I think it may have been for. I think it was at San Andreas. I think it was probably one of the last ones that I only played briefly.
Yeah, San Andreas on the PS2 era, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that one. Yeah, but I suppose to me, like, I didn't play much in the world of. In the way of open world games before, so. Before then, so I was sort of didn't know too much from what to do with it. I just remember just driving around a lot, and that was really about it. Not so much in the mission side stuff, because I didn't really know too much about it. So I think now that I have a better understanding of them, and from what I've seen with GTA 5, it could be a buy. Kojima?
If they don't ban it.
Oh, yeah, of course. But,
because one of the shots in the trailer shows him coming out of a marijuana dispensary, so that's the
that's
the speculation now that they're going to get upset about that.
Yeah,
because you know people are going to go out to the marijuana dispensaries we have here in Australia. Oh, that's right, we don't have them, so you can't replicate that. Yeah, you know, I don't want to give them any ideas, frankly.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm sort of disappointed with like Saints Row and State of Decay. I mean. I probably would have only played Saints Row just sort of briefly and all that stuff as well, just to sort of see the craziness of it. Or
it's the principle of it,
yeah,
though, because
exactly.
I know there's other people interested.
It's the bigger
yeah.
picture, the community, the ones that are really interested. I mean, it's the whole thing sort of with the DRM and all that stuff, always online thing. It doesn't affect me too much in a lot of ways, but yeah, it's the general principle rule of it, or you know, where you feel like. Your rights as a consumer are getting violated in some way. So,
yeah.
You know, that's why I supported what the PS4 had done, and obviously now with the whole 180 decision and that, you know. So, yeah.
It's the best move for the consumer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's always the way I sort of think in returns is consumer front. So, because myself is a consumer, and I always try and look out for the best product that suits me as well. So, yeah, and as soon as I get, I'll get disappointed when I can't get what I want. So, if I don't mind you, I'm pretty selfish and picky. So,
well, we've all got our tastes.
Yep, that's true.
So, and yeah, I mean, I didn't love GTA 4. I'm going to try and get back into it, especially before GTA 5 comes out, just to get a feel for that more up to date Grand Theft Auto. But 5 is looking really, really good, really interesting. The biggest concern I have at the moment is my pet peeve with Grand Theft Auto is that there's a lot of luck-based missions, in so much as if the CPU suddenly decides, oh, this car is going to drive in front of you, and you're trying to make it to beat a timer to beat the mission, you've got to start all over again. And it might be the last little bit of the mission that you screw up on, and you've got to do the whole thing again. And you never do it quite as well second time, because you're starting to get frustrated, and all the skills you build up go out the window because you're getting so pissed off at the game. So you never do that, the perfect run again, until you finally do it, and then you quickly rush to the save point. And I guess I've been spoiled by games like Fallout New Vegas, where you can save on the fly, and just save right there wherever you're doing, no matter what room you're in, whether you're in the middle of a quest or whatever. Yeah. So that's having to replay the whole mission, I feel, is a really artificial way of lengthening the game that really should have gone out by this generation. So I'm interested to see if there's going to be checkpoints of the missions, and whether you can actually progress in the game by failing a mission. You know what I mean? Like, whether the storyline can change by failing. I should probably look into it. I don't know whether they've said that much about it just yet.
I think it was more just sort of showing a bit of the technology.
Yeah. They have released a FAQ on the Rockstar's website, but I don't think they've really addressed whether there are checkpoints or whether you can fail a mission and the story changes based on that. I mean, there's lots of different ways you can finish missions, quests in Fallout, and you can fail them and still have the story go on, and it has its ramifications in the open world. And really, for an open world sandbox game, that's the way it should be.
Yep.
That you don't get stuck on a mission, you can't progress past it. But we'll see. But that's might be my gripe with Grand Theft Auto. I do love the series, but that's always long bothered me since it went to the new form in GTA 3. Getting stuck on a mission like that, and a really lengthy one, and having to play that first half of it over and over again, and then the second half where something goes wrong because the AI has decided to be a pain in the neck.
I think when I started sort of playing a little bit more into the whole open world game was, and sort of understanding about it, was playing like Far Cry and Just Cause 2, and that's when I started to understand a little bit more about this whole open world, so do what you want. And then also participate in some missions and that. For me, I sort of got bored a bit with Just Cause 2, and even in Far Cry 2, it sort of just got very repetitive. I mean, Far Cry 3 was a lot better. I've still got a little bit to finish in that, so if they're able to keep it up in making it really interesting and all that, instead of it just doing the same thing, like, with regards to Far Cry and Just Cause, you sort of go to a certain location, there's a couple of enemies, and that's it. You'd just kill them, move on to the next thing. You know, if it's just that kind of beat the whole time, then it gets boring. So I hope they keep it interesting and fresh and different things. From what it looks like, too, with the Assassin's Creed Black Flag 4, that one looks more open world and stuff as well. I was watching a dev video on it today, and that kind of has a lot of interesting appeal to it, because aside from just being on the boat, you go to different islands, you can raid and steal ports and all that kind of thing, and sort of bases and all that stuff, and it looks really cool. So as long as you get something a little bit more robust instead of something repetitive, then I'll probably be a lot more interested than I have with some of the other games.
Yeah. It's probably, as I said, it's going to be the last game, I think, that I get for the 360. Most likely the last big release, I'd say, and then onto most likely PS4.
I've kind of be interested to see if there will be a next-gen version. So I might hold off a little bit just to sort of see and wait. And if there's no word of it, then, I'll probably jump on it. I mean, the PS3 version looks really impressive, so... because I admit, when I saw the trailer, it was looking at the PlayStation video of it,
Well, let's also remember the possibility of a PC version modding.
Yes,
So,
yes.
Yeah. Speaking of PC versions of things, Mortal Kombat, the complete edition, that's complete with a K, of course, has come to the PC. It's only available on Steam at the moment, but there will be a disc release come August. And it has not been refused classification in Australia. It has the R18 rating that the console version does. So I don't know if there'll be a modding community popping up for that, but... Yeah, if anyone who doesn't have a console and is a Mortal Kombat fan wants to give that a shot, it's available now on Steam for $30, I believe. In all its gory glory.
Sweet.
As is the case for Mortal Kombat. But any other notes this week? Any more Last of Us stories you want to share? that's the tradition.
No, I've just that I finished the second playthrough last night. Yeah, and waiting for the single-player DLC. That's all I got on it. I want to try and catch up on some of the other games that I need to finish, like Tomb Raider, Max Payne 3, Far Cry 3, Medal of Honor. I haven't actually played 2K13 since, what was it, game? Probably, like, just started the Eastern Conference Finals. So yeah, that was how long ago since I've last touched the game. So yeah, I got a small backlog that I want to finish up on. I will be playing a bit more of the Last of Us multiplayer though. Just waiting for all that stuff. So I'll probably get the season pass on that as well.
It's a tough life when we've got to catch up on video gaming.
Oh yeah,
but you know, it's the kind of sacrifices.
Oh
we
yeah,
make. If only to talk,
live and die for the cause.
If only to talk about it for a couple of hours on a podcast.
Yeah.
But so we are reaching that that point where we have been talking for a couple of hours, and so if we have no other things to talk about this week, I guess we should wrap it up. And
I was just thinking,
yeah,
can probably start claiming this as a like the games as a tax expense now.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I might look into that now, especially now that I can say that I'm a professional writer now for a website.
The ATO is going to love that.
Just... Well, my mate works in is a lawyer and works for the ATO, so.
You got connections.
Yes, so I'll get my, I won't say tax evasion sort of methods through here. But
let's not say tax
no,
evasion.
That could end up on the wrong side of things. But, you know, I can get all the helpful tips just to make sure that I'm claiming it right. And if worse comes to worse, I can also have him defend me in court. But I took his advice. I took my lawyer and my ATO agent's advice, so yes.
I do not know you, sir.
No, don't worry, I've known him since high school, sir, and yeah, I've got a lot of photo and video evidence of knowing him, so yes. He can't get away from that fact.
Fantastic. Well, then, I guess we shall wrap it up for another week. Okay. Well, you have been listening to the NLSC podcast, episode number 36, once again dedicated to Rasheed Wallace, the most entertaining assistant coach in the league from here on after, no doubt.
Oh, I was just thinking we should have a bet on how many techs he will get from the sidelines.
Well, you know, Jason Kidd got a tech in his very first game, so yeah, I can only imagine that she's going to if he can get a Rodman-esque streak. Like in Dennis Rodman in the 97 playoffs of getting the a technical in 15 straight games or whatever it was, you know, it may be in jeopardy, that streak, with the Sheet on the sidelines and allowed to shout until he's thrown out of the game.
Just two more things. Meta World Peace that we forgot to mention has been amnestied, and it looks like it's official that the J.R. Smith has re-signed with the Knicks.
Yes. That's right.
Sorry to cut in with those sort of late news, but they just came in.
So, yeah, like we said before, busy off-season.
Yes.
But we'll continue to cover that and ramble about it. I'll try and talk a little bit better next week. I'm stumbling over my tongue this week.
And I'll try not to sound so nasally next week as well and not cough as much.
And hopefully we'll be able to get Leftos on the program and give him a proper send-off.
Yes.
But yes, that has been episode number 36 of the NLSC podcast. If you like what you heard, you can keep streaming it on nba-live.com, of course. But you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. We're there. Also, blueberry.com. They handle all our statistics and everything and have a show listing for us. But there or iTunes or the site, of course. And you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thenlsc. You can follow us on Twitter @thenlsc, And the NLSC, of course, once again, is nva-live.com. Mods, patches, news, all the stuff. This wonderful podcast that we're doing. All our content's there. Come check us out every day. Visit us every day. Make us part of your daily routine. If you love basketball and basketball video games, we've got you covered. So that's going to wrap it up. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane, and now a professional writer. read my article on Under the Code, damn it.
Yep. And buy your
clothes. Yes, exactly.
See you next week, guys.
See ya.